A group of dark figures in hooded robes are gathered on a bleak mountainside. The body of an infant boy, loosely wrapped in a white linen shroud, lies on a funeral pyre. Lady Macbeth steps forward from the group of mourners and gently lays a sprig of heather onto the young corpse. She pays her last respects to the child. Then Macbeth comes forward and places two stones over the boy's eyes. The body is arranged on a bed of furs that cover a stack of wood. A flaming branch is brought to the pyre, and the fire immediately spreads. The parents stand frozen-faced, leaning on each other for support, the tears falling from Lady Macbeth's eyes. In the distance, three female figures watch the funeral proceedings.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won.
Where the place?
Upon the battlefield, there to meet with Macbeth.
Fair is foul, and foul is fair, hover through the fog and filthy air.
A caption reads, "Civil war rages in Scotland. The traitor MacDonald leads mercenaries against King Duncan. Few remain loyal to the crown. Macbeth, Thane of Glamis, leads a weary army. The king has sent him his last reserves. The war will be decided at the Battle of Elon." A lone warrior stares into the blood-red sunrise as day breaks over a mountain range. Gradually, a blanket of clouds draws over the snow-capped peaks and swathes the hillside in fog. The army of reservists stride along a ridge with their weapons sheathed about their waists. Leading them is Macbeth, a muscular man in his late 30s with a mighty sword, worn from use, slung over his back. War paint adds to Macbeth's fearsome appearance. Three black stripes run the length of his face, from his cropped hair down to his red beard. He faces his troops with an unflinching gaze. In the king's army, the number of experienced soldiers is vastly outweighed by fresh-faced lads. Macbeth binds a sword to a young boy's hand. Older recruits make their final preparations for battle. Some drink, others pray. Banquo daubs war paint on the brow of a youthful defender, while other new recruits are given last-minute instruction in fighting technique. Macbeth takes his place in the front line of Duncan's army. The soldiers stand anxiously, shifting from one foot to the other. All eyes are on Macbeth. Suddenly, he raises his sword aloft. Macbeth leads the charge into battle. Macbeth's sword crashes down like a cleaver onto a rebel who tries to block the falling blade. Banquo punches and stabs his way forward as Macbeth hacks down the rebels who attack him from every angle. Banquo holds a man in a headlock, cuts his throat, then drops him to the ground. A young lad is knocked down. Macbeth hurries to his rescue and pulls him back up to his feet. Macbeth's eyes caught by the presence of three women standing calmly, impassively, amidst the chaos. Men fight and die all around them. The King of the Western Isles stands motionless at the edge of the battlefield, watching Macbeth cutting a bloody swathe through his mercenaries. One soldier is cradled in the arms of a comrade, the guts spilling out of his body. The boy who Macbeth rescued cries out to the heavens, but all around him the slaughter continues. Blood spills from the mouth of a combatant as he falls to the ground. Another screams as his throat is cut. Macbeth stares at the wraith-like women, then instantly returns to the battle. Macbeth charges towards the rebel leaders, Macdonald and the Thane of Cawdor. King Duncan receives a report of the battle from a wounded soldier.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. The merciless Macdonald from the Western Isles of Cairns and Gallow Glasses is supplied, and fortune on his damned quarrel smiling, sword like a rebel's whore. But all too weak for brave Macbeth. Well, he deserves that name, disdaining fortune with his brandished steel, which smoked with bloody execution like Valor's minion carved out his passage till he faced the slave, which ne'er shook hands, nor bade farewell to him, till he unseamed him from the nave to the chops and fixed his head upon our battlements. And to conclude, victory fell on us.
Valiant Macbeth, worthy gentleman, great happiness.
King Duncan kisses the kneeling man, then turns to greet the arrival of Prince Malcolm.
Whence camest thou, noble prince?
From Fife, great king, where Norwegian banners fly out the sky and fan our people cold. Assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor.
Malcolm presents the Thane to the king, who looks him straight in the eye.
God save the king.
He bows his head, but Duncan forces it back up, staring at the traitor intently. He then removes the mantle from around the rebel's shoulders.
No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go pronounce his present death, and with his former title greet Macbeth.
I'll see it done.
What he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won.
Two archers fire arrows into the former Thane of Cawdor, now tied to a post. Standing silently in the rain, Macbeth looks down at a corpse of the young lad he'd prepared for battle. Banquo helps him to heave the body across the heath to where other corpses are stacked. A dog licks the blood off a dismembered torso.
So foul and fair a day I've not seen.
Macbeth and Banquo pause to look at the dead soldiers, then return to their grim task. The three witches and a girl watch as the wrist of a nearby corpse is slit and the blood collected in a vessel.
What are these?
Live you or are you aught that man may question?
The witches simply stare back.
Speak if you can, what are you?
The girl steps forward through the mist, carrying a trinket. She ties the token to the warrior's chest. The witches approach Macbeth and reach out to touch his face.
Macbeth, hail to thee, Thane of Glamis.
Macbeth, hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
Macbeth's brow furrows.
All hail Macbeth that shall be king hereafter.
He glances over to Banquo.
Good sir. Why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? My noble partner, you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope. That he seems wrapped withal, to me you speak not.
Hail, lesser than Macbeth, and greater.
Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none.
So all hail Macbeth and Banquo.
Banquo and Macbeth, all hail.
In a vision, Macbeth sees himself crowned by an archbishop. On the mountainside, the witches make to depart. Macbeth hurries after them.
Stay, you imperfect speakers.
Tell me more.
Say from whence you all this strange intelligence. And why upon this blasted heap you stop our way with such prophetic greeting.
Speak, I charge you.
The witches ignore him and recede into the mist. Banquo approaches.
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them.
Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And Amwasin Corporal melted his breath into the wind. Where the earth stayed.
Were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane route, takes the reason prisoner.
Macbeth nods gently and turns towards his fellow general.
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king.